We'll start this session with the 6128 switched on, and start it this time from your course startup disk. Stop the tape while you get ready. You should be looking at the CPM A prompt. Information is a valuable resource, and like any other, it has to be managed properly to get the best from it. So during this session, we'll be looking into how a database system can help you manage names and addresses, phone numbers, and so on. A good database system will let you store and sort large amounts of information on a disk. And once stored, the program takes only seconds to scan hundreds of records to look up the item you're interested in. Now, a full-featured database management system is a very powerful program, and it takes a long time to master. We're going to introduce you to a simple database program called TinyMail, which you can use to record and sort names and addresses. Make sure the startup disk is in the drive, then key in TinyMail, that's TinyMail, and press return. If the 6128 tells you it can't find TinyMail, you're using the wrong disk. Put your new course startup disk in and try again. TinyMail uses the same sort of menu you've already seen in TinyCalc. And there are three initial options here: disk, open, or quit. Don't worry about the other entries in the information box to the right. We'll talk about those as we come to them. Well, we certainly don't want to quit just yet. The disk option is there in case you want to switch to a new data disk. When you use TinyMail to build your own data, you'll want to keep your data files on a separate disk, especially as they grow bigger. And you'll have to use the disk option to swap disks at this point. For this session, we'll only be using a very small database of just 7 names and addresses, which is already on this disk. So, tap the letter O to open that file. We're opening an existing database, so tap C for current here. And TinyMail shows you the directory of all TinyMail data files. Well, there is only one, so press return to open the file sample.tmd. Now have a look at that information box. You'll see it now shows we've opened the data file sample, and that there are a total of 7 live records in the file. I'll show you the difference between the two sorts of records later. It also shows that we're using the disk in Drive A. And on the line at the bottom of the screen, you get another 3 menu options: to work on single records, to work on the complete set of records, or to close the data file. Let's see a quick list of all 7 records in this database. Press the letter A. TinyMail asks you whether you want the list sorted alphabetically by key or by record number. We'll look at record numbering in a moment, so for now, just press return to get an alphabetically sorted list. We'll see the list on screen first, and ignore the other options for the time being, so just press return again. And there you are. A list of 7 names, each followed by a company name, and each one having a unique reference number. Notice that the list is sorted alphabetically, not by people's surname, but by the name of their company. In other words, the key piece of information for sorting this database is the company name. Let's try that again, but this time we'll sort the list by record number. Tap return, then A again. Now the letter R to sort the list by record number, and return to get a screen display. You get the same information, but this time sorted according to the reference number. Well, so far so good. But what is TinyMail actually showing you? To answer that, we'll have a look at a single record in detail. Press return. Now press the letter S. As you can see, TinyMail lays out its data like one of those index cards most people use in one form or another. But there's a difference. To enable these 6128 to keep track of data in an electronic file, you can't just make up the layout of each card as you go along. You have to create a standard template for the information and stick precisely to that template for each card. In database terminology, each element of information on this card, things like the surname, the four address line, the phone number and so on, is known as a field. And a record is simply the term for the complete set of fields which make up each index card. The TinyMail template is fixed and already set up. We've given names to all the fields and we've specified so many characters for each field. Of course, I don't know how you want your information stored or displayed ideally, but this general format design will be fine for at least part of your information. If you decide you need to get a more sophisticated database management system to keep track of your data, you'll have to start by designing your own record template as we've done here. So perhaps you might prefer to stick with TinyMail's format for now. Let's have a look at one of the records. Notice that one of the fields is marked as the key field. As I said just now, the key field is the one on which the whole database is indexed alphabetically. And in our sample database, we use the key field to hold the name of a company or business. Press the letter F to find a record. If you want to find a particular record, you could enter the name here. Instead, just press return, and TinyMail takes you to the last record in the list. Now that we've selected one record from the file, we can flick from card to card, forwards or backwards. Let's try it. Tap the letter N to go to the next record. And again. And keep going through the list like this. After a time, you will notice that you've come back to the record you started with. Try it the other way. Press the letter B to go back. And again. And once again. Keep going until you come back to the record for Queen Street Hairdressers. So the TinyMail card index is circular. The cards are stored alphabetically, but with no beginning or end. Tap the letter Q to quit. One of the existing records is for a business called Hancock Insurance Limited. But you don't have to know the whole name to find it. Hit the F key. And at the prompt, Enter Key Field, type in the name Hancock, H-A-N-C-O-C-K, and press return. Now, there isn't a card with just the name Hancock in the key field, so TinyMail finds the next best thing, which is the one we're looking for anyway. Let's have a closer look at this card. The first point to note is that there's no particular significance to any of the information on this card. It's just what we made up for this training session. Then when you use TinyMail, you can put anything you like into the different fields which make up a complete record. The first field on the card is the reference number, which we've derived from the record's number, followed by the date, AD8, followed by three extra digits. We've put the company name in the key field, because we wanted the whole database to be sorted by company. But if you don't expect to use company names, you could use this field for surnames or products or anything else which you wanted to sort alphabetically. Let's add a new record. First, tap the letter Q to clear the card ready. This time, tap the letter A, and TinyMail moves up to the first field on the card, ready for you to start typing in the new record. It's as simple as that. I said earlier that we constructed the code number from the record number and the date, but here's a problem. This is a new record and doesn't have a record number yet. The record number is something that TinyMail picks up automatically. So the answer is to leave this field blank for the time being and key it in later. Hit the Enter key. Notice two things happen as you go into the date field. TinyMail displays a sort of date pattern, showing that it expects the date in the form of two characters each for the day, month and year, and in that order. Notice too, in the information box, that Tiny Mail has automatically selected overtype mode. This means that any numbers you key in will automatically overtype those pattern characters. Type in today's date. And, by the way, Tiny Mail has an error trap to check that the date you key in is realistic. It won't let you type in a date like the 35th of March. Okay, press return. This customer is Mr. Brian Morgan. Type in the title Mr. and return. Obviously, the initial letter is usually going to be the same as the first character of the first name, but not always. For the initial, type in the letter B and return it. Now enter the surname Morgan and return that. For the key field, type in the name of Brian Morgan's company, key in Evans Transport Company, and press return. The first line of Brian Morgan's address is High Street, and return, then Bristol, and return once again. We won't bother with the remaining lines of the address, just press return until you're in the telephone field. For the phone number, enter 54321. Well, you could enter data into the other fields, or use the up and down cursor keys to move through and change any of them. For now though, just press the escape key, and the whole record is saved. And an empty template appears, ready for you to add another record. Notice too, that the information box has changed to show there are now 8 5 records in the total file. I said earlier we'd have to go back to enter the missing code number from Brian Morgan's record. Tap the letter F to find the record. Now the first few characters of the company name. Type in EVA and return that. As you can see, Tiny Mail allocated this data to record number 8. So let's edit this record to put in the code number. First, tap the letter E to edit. Then key in the code number, type in 008, then a dash, then the 2 year characters from the date, then another dash, and any 3-digit number to complete the code. Now instead of return, just press escape to tell Tiny Mail you've finished editing this record. Well, that seems a bit long-winded. After all, if we had 7 records in the file before, why didn't we just guess that the next record would be number 8? The answer is that it won't always be quite so simple. Tiny Mail is quite clever in the way it uses record cards. When we started, there were a total of 7 records in the file, all of which were live. Now there are 8, and again, all of them are live. But what happens if we delete a record? Let's delete Brian Morgan's record and see. Just tap the letter D and the letter Y to confirm. The record goes, leaving a blank card once more. But look at the information box. There are just 7 live records, but the database still holds a total of 8 records. In other words, the record card Tiny Mail used for Brian Morgan's record has simply been cleared, not physically removed from the file, which in computer processing terms would be a time-consuming process. By keeping track of all the deleted records, Tiny Mail is able to reuse an old card when you add a new record to the file. This makes sure that the file only grows when there are no more blank records to be reused. And it also means that only TinyMail knows what record number to use for the next new record. One of the most powerful features of a word processor is its ability to send a personalized letter to many people from a standard mail-shot letter. TinyMail was specifically designed with that in mind. The first job in producing a mail-shot letter is to produce a version of your database in a form the word processor can make sense of. Tap the letter Q to go back to the main menu. Now select the All option, then press Return to make sure the new database will be sorted according to the key field. As you can see from this menu, TinyMail can produce two sorts of new data files. One in a format suitable for local mail on the Amstrad PCW computer, and another suitable for WordStar. If you use a PCW, you'll need the local mail option. But if you get a word processor with a mail merging capability on your 6128, the chances are it'll use this second format. So for now, press the letter W to select the WordStar option from this menu, and wait while TinyMail writes out the new file for WordStar to use. And that's all there is to using TinyMail, except for closing down. And it is important that you go through the right procedure every time you close TinyMail down. TinyMail uses the data file on the disk not just to store individual records, but also to keep general information about the whole file, such as how many live records it contains, and where all the deleted record cards are. If you switch the computer off without closing TinyMail down properly, you could easily scramble the data in the file and have to rekey it again from scratch. So remember, with TinyMail or any other database type program, only change disks at the specific point in the program where you're permitted to, and always close the program down at the end by going through the prescribed procedure. And just in case disaster does happen, make sure you always take a backup copy of your data files on a separate disk after each session. After all, making security copies is one of the prime functions of the CPM program PIP we looked at earlier. Okay, let's close down TinyMail. First of all, tap C to close the file sample, and finally, tap Q to quit from the TinyMail and go back to CPM. Well, we've covered a lot of ground so far, and I hope you found it useful. CPM Plus can seem pretty difficult at first, but once you start using it, you'll find it invaluable. Don't be afraid to experiment on your own. You'll find that CPM allows you to carry out all sorts of useful tricks, as well as your normal day-to-day jobs. I want to finish off this part of the program by looking in a bit more detail at the electric book you made in session 2. The electric book runs under CPM, so make sure you have the CPM A prompt on the screen. There are three electric books on this disk. Basic, the book you read earlier during the basic tutorial. Tutor, which is a book of screen-based tutorials. And on side 2 of the disc, Recap, a book containing a complete transcript of these 4 audio sessions, which you can use for revision. Type in read, R-E-A-D, then a space, then the name of the book you want to read, Tutor, T-U-T-O-R, and return that. And you're now reading an electric book. Press return to select the forward option, and you'll see the next page in the electric book. Press return a couple more times to view the next pages. Once you get used to the book, you'll probably find it simpler to select an option simply by tapping its initial letter. Try it now. Tap the letter B for back, and you go straight back to the previous page. But if you know the page you want, you can turn straight to it by pressing the letter T. Try it, press T, then type in the number 30, and return. If you know the topic you want, but don't know the page, you use the search option. Tap the letter S, and the book asks you to key in the word you want it to look for. We'll get it to look for the word file. Key in F-I-L-E, and press return. Now you get two options, either a quick search through the page headings or a thorough search through the text. Press T for a thorough search. If the book can find the word you've asked it to look for, it turns to the page and highlights it for you. You'll have to press the spacebar to continue. If it can't find the word, it will stop at the end of the book, or when you tap the ESC escape key. The book assumes that you might want to keep searching, so you could press return now to find the word file again. If you want a permanent copy of any page in a book, you can print it on your own printer. Tap the letter P for print. The electric book asks you to check the printer's ready, and to either press return to start printing or press any other key to exit from the print routine. If you don't have a printer set up at the moment, tap the spacebar now. But if you do, I want you to stop the tape in a moment and press the return key to print the page on screen. Start the tape again when the printer has finished printing. If you're ready, stop the tape now and press the return key on your computer. Your printer may not be able to print out all the special symbols that make up the picture on screen, but you can tell it's the same page. The question mark option is there to remind you how to operate the electric book. Tap it now, don't forget to use the shift key, and you get the preface page of the book. You can read it if you want to, but stop the tape if you do. If the book is asking you to press a key to continue, press the spacebar. Press M to select the bookmark option. Just like an ordinary book, you can use bookmarks, in this case, electric bookmarks. The menu line is asking you whether you want to set a bookmark, or find one, or remove one you set earlier. Well, let's set one for this page. Tap the letter S for set, and now key in the number 1. As you do so, look at the top of the screen. BM1 shows you set of bookmark number 1 on this page. Now, turn to page 2, key in T, the number 2, and return. Let's find that bookmark you just set. Key in the letter M, and this time the letter F for find, and now the number 1, find bookmark 1. Your book can use up to 5 bookmarks. You can set numbers 1 to 4, but the book uses bookmark 0 in a special way. It marks the current page before you send it off to another part of the book. Try this and you'll see what I mean. Press M for mark, F for find, and then 0. The book will take you straight back onto page 2, the page you left last time you used turn to. This page is the start of the screen-based tutorial, and that's the next thing to work on. It's a sort of refresher to see how much you've learned and understood of this course. It's important that you understand the concept, so try not to cheat. The program will take you through at your optimum pace, and if you need some more help with an idea, the program will provide it. The tutorial begins by looking at the various bits of machinery that make up your computer hardware system. So follow the screen prompts and work your own way through the tutorial. Before you do that, wind this tape onto the end. And I wish you goodbye and good luck with your 6128.